Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Cheap Seats Chatter, the best podcast to grace your ears if your ears are wanting to hear some baseball talk. I am Alex Clark. I am your host for today's podcast, joined by always the immaculate, the immortal Matthias Almakura-Saki and Ryan Splash Potts. First things first, as we start every podcast, my main men, how are we doing on this specially recorded Friday episode of CSC?
I'm doing well. It turned into fall today. It was chilly and windy in New York City, but it was pleasant, you'd say. I mean, I would say. I mean, the one thing I don't always love about fall is how quickly winter sneaks up on everyone. So, but I'm doing well. The Mets play on the West Coast tonight. Or an all weekend, but tonight is their only night game in this series, so that means I'll be staying up late tonight, but overall, I'm doing fine.
How's it going, fellas? The Braves are currently losing to the Phillies, so I am depressed, but I've been doing baseball research in the background, and I found out that one Stan the Man Musial is the only player in Major League history to face one batter and not get an out. To face exactly one batter and not get an out. The other two players to do that had caught stealing or a pickoff at some point. So he ends up with a walk in his only batter faced, but has an out. And the other player had a force out. So like a single to right field, guy was thrown out going to second, a la Craig Biggio's 3000th hit. So good job, Stan the Man. Unbreakable record right there.
I mean, right now, I'm kind of in the same boat as Splash right now at this exact moment, so you get an idea of when we're recording this. The Seattle Mariners are currently losing to the Kansas City Royals, a score right now of 2-1 in the top half of the fourth inning, just further proving my points that I am not crazy. The Mariners seem to do better against good teams than against bad teams. They're bad. But we're not talking about Mariners today. We might get to some talk about them a little bit later, but we've got other fish to fry today. And one specific, we needed to talk about this one man that this year has truly risen to the occasion, has been one of, if not the best player in all of baseball. And everyone, all rise for Aaron Judge. Judge right now at 60 home runs by the time of this podcast being recorded, so close to that huge 62 mark. Guys, we're gonna try not to talk too much about the MVP with this, because we've been beating that dead horse a lot recently, and we need to make sure we try to keep it out of it until probably closer to the end of the season, which is very, very near, by the way. But right now, Aaron Judge is on this incredible pace. He's even looking like a potential for the Triple Crown. Guys, does he get the Triple Crown? Does he get this home run record? I think at this point right now, at least that second one is almost is almost like a given at this point, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's just been unreal. I don't know how else to put it. You know, he had a great first half. Then it looked like, all right, maybe he's falling off a little bit, you know, sort just like the rest of the Yankees team. It was, you know, he reached a little bit of a lull. He didn't homer for about a week. I know that's a really long stretch for him, but, you know, June, he only hit 257. He still was hitting home runs, but in the second half, he's been unreal, hitting 371, a 1358 OPS coming into tonight. And specifically in the month of September, hitting 462. With a 577 on base, and he's slugging 985 in September. That is not possible for any stretch of time, I don't think. I don't know how he's doing it. And you watch this guy play, and everyone's like, oh, but he plays in Yankee Stadium, which I know is a hitter-friendly ballpark. You have short porches. His home runs aren't cheapies. He's hitting them very far. He's hitting the ball very hard. And I can only imagine what type of contract he gets this offseason. I mean, for reference, let's take a look at the categories he's leading the American League in currently. He's leading the league in runs scored, home runs, RBIs, walks, batting average, on-base percentage, slugging percentage, OPS, OPS plus, total bases, and wins above replacement. So I don't know what else to say about Aaron Judge, but I think he definitely breaks Maris's mark of 61. I mean, heck, it should be this weekend, in my opinion. He looked like he almost got 61 yesterday. He flew out to the fence. And at this point, I don't see who's stopping him for the triple crown. I think he gets the triple crown, too.
Yeah, this is one that I do think the last part of the triple crown is the batting average here. And it's a tight race. Xander Bogaerts is up there. Luis Arraez is up there. So it could fluctuate by a point or two. But I think Judge is in such a zone right now. And, you know, teams are also making his life a little bit easier by walking him a bunch. So there's fewer and fewer bad pitches to swing at. So this can be kind of like a Barry Bonds early 2000s thing of you siphon away some bad at bats, some at bats you really don't have a chance of getting a hit on, and you don't turn those into at bats. You just put them in the plate appearance, put them in the walk pile. I think Judge will win the Triple Crown. I think he's odds on favorite right now to win the Triple Crown. And it's just an all around stellar season. But to me, the best part here is it's not just, oh, he's having a great power season. He's having one of the best all-around seasons ever. He's been good defensively in center field, and when he played right field, of course, he's his usual elite defensive self. So he's stealing bases, too. This is not just a Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa season. This is a all-around Aaron Judge is having one of the top 50 to 100 seasons in the history of the sport, the 125-year-plus history of Major League Baseball, or 150-plus-year history of Major League Baseball. Aaron Judge is etching his name squarely on this list of greatest seasons ever.
Yeah, it's not a question at this point that Aaron Judge is having an incredible year. And one of the first things I'll always go to is whenever I think of Aaron Judge, first thing I think of is home runs, right? I feel like that's the first thing a lot of people are going to think of. And if you go on to the stat leaders, not just of the AL, but the entire MLB, let me read off the top five. First, there's a three-way tie for third between Austin Riley, Yordan Alvarez, and Pete Alonso, all with 37. Then next is Kyle Schwarber with 40. And then it's Judge with 60. That's 20 above second place, folks. I mean, it's incredible the pace that he's been on this year. And I think you put it about as perfectly as you could have there a moment ago, that he's in a zone right now. He is absolutely on fire. Watching him play, he is playing like to make a MLB Power Pro 2007 reference, not 2008, 2007 reference. He's playing like Willie, the old Major League player that was the ghost that embodied your player whenever you needed help. But watching him play games is incredible. You feel like you are watching one of the greatest to ever do it during this season. And I'm not saying he is the greatest. I'm not even saying, not saying anything like that. But what you know when you see something special. Baseball fans know when they're seeing something that does not happen every day. And that's what right now Judge is on. The biggest problem when it comes to the Triple Crown is going to be that batting average. Because yes, he does have a 2-point lead over Xander Bogaerts, who was the next closest to him in the American League. But that's still 2 points. That's only 2 points. That can be made up in a very quick amount of time overall. So for Judge, it's going to come down to, I think the home runs bit is basically guaranteed now at this point. Like, barring something happening, knock on wood. Like, I think at this point right now, by the end of this weekend, he probably does tie Maris at 61. And definitely some point before the end of the season, considering that we still have a couple weeks left, he's going to get to 62 and potentially even farther up, where we may see, well, for one, the first times in a while, a record that's not broken by one or two. We could see a record that's broken by even something like five, seeing the pace that he is on. If he just keeps seeing the ball as well as he is, it's really interesting to see. And it's really fun to speculate, where is he going to go? Because you look at other matchups the Yankees have, you're thinking, oh man, maybe he could get one here. Yes, he is aided a little bit by Yankee Stadium, but that doesn't matter when you look at how good he's been everywhere else too. Like Max said, he is not getting cheated on these hits. He is hitting them harder and harder. So, Triple Crown-wise, RBIs and home runs, those are the easy ones right now. Those are the ones where he has a pretty sizable lead. The next closest in the American League to him, RBIs wise, is Jose Ramirez with 117. So he has an 11 RBI lead. That's pretty good. It's pretty good. But the batting average is still going to be the one that I think will probably end up getting him a little bit. I just hope that at least in his sake, he's not trying to just hit home runs to break that record. Because if he does do that, I can see that batting average dropping just enough to lose out on the Triple Crown. I don't know if that's going to be what happens. It could be. Guys, any more notes here on Judge before we move on to our next?
Yeah, I mean, watching him play yesterday, Michael Wacha, the first plate appearance of the game, you know, Judge has been batting leadoff actually a lot lately, which is hard to believe, but the Yankees offense, other than Judge, really hasn't been that great in the second half. And that's part of the reason why they struggled for a while. Obviously, they're having a much better September, but, you know, he threw him four pitches way out of the zone. The thing is, a lot of pitchers are not doing that. You know, people are asking, like, you know, how do you pitch to Aaron Judge? Well, Aaron Judge has seen, I believe now, at this point, the most pitches in the center of the strike zone compared to any other hitter in the majors. You know, one way to make it easy for Aaron Judge to hit home runs, you know, is to throw a fastball right down the middle or throw hanging sliders. It's just, it seems like pitchers haven't figured out that throwing pitches to Aaron Judge in the strike zone is a bad idea. So at this point, I don't know how to get Aaron Judge out because he also has a very good eye at the plate. He draws a lot of walks. So while he is a little prone to that down and away slider, nobody's really throwing it to him. So he's just, he covers the entire plate. You know, he hits the ball a mile. And, you know, the Yankees are facing some weaker opponents towards the end of the season. They have the Red Sox right now. They end the year with the Rangers. So other than Toronto, I guess they do have three games with Baltimore. He gets six more games against some weaker opponents. So maybe he does clear it by 20. Maybe he gets 66, 67. Who knows? I don't think there's any chance he gets Barry Bonds, but what we are witnessing this year is truly historic.
And the best part about it, he's still the everyday center fielder for the New York Yankees. He's not taking days in right field. He's not taking DH days. He is in the pennant race in a division that has not been locked up yet, although it should be locked up by the end of next week. You know, the Yankees need every single one of these wins, you know, clinch that two seed, avoid playing in the wild card round. So it's not something like the Yankees are way out of contention or they're 30 games up on everyone. Every game matters for Judge and every at bat matters.
Funny that you bring up that he's the everyday center fielder because you're right. But for those that play MLB The Show, in today's content update, he was actually just moved to being the right fielder for the Yankees. So, just a little bit of funny bit of trivia there. Anyway, moving on now to our next topic here. The postseason is within reach now. It is so, so very close. And so now with that, I think it's about time that we start talking a little bit more about the postseason picture, the teams that have clinched right now, because we've had a few that have already been clinched, including both of your teams have already been said to make it, which, by the way, I will say just as a little quick little bit, the picture that was taken for Max Metz from, I believe it was all the pitchers, and all that is one of my favorite pictures ever, but not because of any of the pictures that were in that picture. In the bottom right-hand corner, you just saw a very uninterested Daniel Vogelbach wearing this shirt and him just on his phone be like, whatever. And it's one of the funniest things I have ever seen, and it makes me so very happy to be alive so I can witness that. But no, we have the Braves that have already made it. The Dodgers have already made it. The Mets have already made it. I'm trying to remember if any team in the American League has already made. I believe the Astros have.
And the Yankees.
Astros and the Yankees.
Clinched the playoff spot last night.
All right. So, yeah, basically the top two have already clinched for that. And then aside from that, everywhere else is still pretty up for grabs. Right now, Seattle still has a very high chance of making it. Although if they keep on playing like they did on their, they have been on this road trip, then that 99 may drop to zero really, really quickly. and one of the biggest blunders in human history, in my opinion. Do not at me. But it's really cool seeing the teams that are still going on right now. I'm on right now the MLB At-Bat app, and where they actually have a the postseason started today brackets. And it's kind of interesting to see where things line up as of right now. But let's talk about the teams that have already made it, all right? So we got Yankees, Astros, Dodgers, Mets, Braves. Of these teams right now, where do you see the most interesting matchups going on? Because at the moment, still right now, again, I believe this still can change, obviously. But it's, I think the NL East is really interesting with you two, because at this point right now, the winner of the division does not have to face the Dodgers until the NLCS, whereas the wild card team has to beat a wild card team and then play against the Dodgers according to this bracket here. So fellas, let's talk a little NL East. Let's talk about where we see these two teams. Both have already clinched, but how important now is winning that division?
Well, I think it's, I mean, it's huge, really, especially, and I think it's more important for the Mets to get that bye because they have a slightly older roster with guys like Scherzer and DeGrom and Marte, who are on the wrong side of 30 and have dealt with injuries this year. They need that rest badly. So it's definitely more important for them to win the division. And it's worth noting also that as of right now, they would be facing either the Cardinals or the Phillies, both who the Mets handled very well this year. I mean, they won 14 of the 19 matchups against the Phillies this year. They won 5 of the 7 against the Cardinals. And for the most part, they made those games against St. Louis look pretty easy. I'm actually curious, though, if, you know, so right now it'd be Braves Padres in that first round. I would be curious about a Braves-Dodgers rematch in the NLDS, because I actually think that these two teams, at least offensively, are way closer than people think. You know, I think 1-9, the Braves give the Dodgers a run for their money. Having watched this team all year, I mean, I see basically no holes in the lineup, especially if Ronald Acuna Jr. is in there. So I think a Braves-Dodgers matchup would actually be fantastic. I think it's a 5-game series either way. And really, I think the Dodgers have an upper hand there pitching-wise, but offensively, I think they're very evenly matched. So I think that'd be a great matchup. Mets-Dodgers would also be interesting, though, because the Mets actually won the season series against Dodgers. Plus, these two teams have faced off twice in my lifetime in the playoffs. So, you know, it's more important for the Mets to get that bye, but regardless, whoever faces the Dodgers, I think these are the two teams that can actually give the Dodgers a run for their money.
Yeah, the scariest part about facing the Dodgers is that your season's over if you lose 3 times, and that's deathly terrifying as a fan of a team that has faced the Dodgers 3 times in the last 4 postseasons, including each of the last 2 NLCSs. So I do agree with you that the bye is uber important for the Mets. It's just one fewer time DeGrom has to pitch, one fewer time Scherzer has to pitch, you know, and just thinking about going into that wild card series, something can go wrong. There's a reason, there's a 100% chance you advance to the next round if you have a bye. No matter how much better you think you are than the Padres, Phillies, Brewers, whoever gets the 5 seed, something can go wrong. You know, you can maybe not be able to hit Yu Darvish one day, or not be able to hit Aaron Nola one day, or Zach Wheeler or Manaea or Burns, or pick your guy, and they might shut you out 7-8 innings and slam the door with the closer. So it's just unnecessary games. And like Mac mentioned, you have an older roster in New York. So I'm thinking, if you're the Mets, you have to get the 2 seed. You have to win the division. If you're the Braves, you're still gunning for it because you don't want to face the Dodgers in a round before the NLCS, and you want that easier route, but maybe you're a tick less inclined to win the division because you aren't having to worry about some of the same age stuff. Although I will turn it the other way, and you can say, hey, Spencer Strider, Kyle Wright, you're saving 6 innings out of them. as opposed to forcing them to throw in a game one, game two, game three of that series, along with Max Fried. So the Braves staff has been dealing with oblique soreness or arm fatigue and whatnot throughout the season. And, you know, it's three games you don't have to pitch. So I do agree with your sentiment that the Mets and the Braves are the two teams most equipped to handle the Dodgers. Of course, the Braves have beaten them before in a playoff series last year and were eerily close to beating them in 2020. I think the Mets just have tremendous pitching staff. So you have that 1-2 DeGrom, Scherzer, who are both lights out in the playoffs. You have Edwin Diaz to close the door in the ninth, and you factor that in, and that's, you know, two games, you're maybe game one, game two, and then game six, game seven. Like, that's four games that you're just throwing out a better pitcher than the Dodgers are. If Chris Bassett's halfway decent, you don't even have to worry about a game six, game seven. If you can take another game and maybe take a game four, good offensive performance, Lindor, Alonso, Marte, et cetera. And the Braves, I think, have tremendous lineup depth. When Acuna is in the lineup, Ozzie Albies is going to be back in all likelihood for the playoffs. So you might have 11 or 12 different bats that you can use, either platooning, like Rosario's of the world, the Grossman's of the world, even Marcelo Zuna can sometimes hit righties. Vaughn Grissom, both catchers can hit. So you're talking about a lineup that doesn't give you easy outs, that even the worst hitter in the lineup on a given day, assuming it's not Guillermo Heredia with Acuna getting a rest day or he's can't play with back soreness or whatever, like, you have a brutal lineup 1 through 9 there. And you couple that with Max Fried, who's won in the playoffs. Couple that with Kyle Wright, who, remember, he started a World Series game, pitched well in the World Series game. You also have Spencer Strider and a deep, deep bullpen. Maybe not as good as last year's night shift, but you have Raisel Iglesias. You have Kenley Jansen, who's made big pitches. You have Tyler Matzek, who turned Mookie Betts into mush last year. So it's exciting times for the National League, and I do not look forward to facing the Dodgers in the NLDS.
See, I'm going to be a little bit malicious here. I think the Mets need it 100%. And if you're the Braves, you are not just gunning for that division win. You are putting all of your eggs there. And here's why. I think overall, like Max said, the Mets are a little bit of an older roster that definitely has had some injury concerns. And having that extra bye week is going to be imperative to try and get that extra bye week. The extra bye into the divisional round is going to be imperative. At that point right now, if you're the Braves, if you're able to take the division, not only do you get that bye for yourself, you also give yourselves a much better chance, or just give a much better chance of getting the Mets knocked out earlier, because not now you are getting that rest. You may not as much need it, mind you, but you're getting that, which will help. I mean, obviously it's going to be nice for you, but it's just not as needed as it is for the Mets. So if you're able to snag that division, then at that point, you've not only just eliminated having to play in the first round, but you may have also just eliminated your biggest rival. So I think at that point, if you're the Braves, you are 100% gunning for that division. And if you are the Mets, you are fighting for your life to stay there. You are trying everything you can just to make sure you get that extra bit of time. Because it's not a ton of time, remember, but it is a little bit. And that little bit could be all that really is needed. So overall, I think what's going to happen, I think that the Mets are going to hold on. I think the Mets are a stupidly good ball club. I think the Braves are as well. But I think that right now, that's kind of the point, is that I look at these two teams, you look at their records right now, and it's so close between them, only a game and a half between the two teams. That's going to help. That's going to help out the Mets more than anything. With so few games left to play overall, that is going to be, I think, the biggest key for them. And even at that point, that especially if you are the Mets, then you have more than likely going to be either Philadelphia or St. Louis to try and deal with. And you're going to be fully rested at that point. Then you'll be ready to face either your division rival or the Dodgers. So right now, I think the best shout when it comes to this, in my opinion, is still going to be the Mets taking the division. The Braves will disperse of probably the Padres. I'm gonna be real. It's not gonna be that hard to do. The Padres have been such a downfall since the trade deadline, and now I want to see what happens when a real baseball team, a really talented, good baseball team, goes against these Padres. And I think it's gonna be fun to watch. It's all good. It's gonna be fun to watch what Atlanta does. But then you get to the real show of it, where it's going to be Dodgers and Atlanta, and that is where the postseason is going to start.
Yeah, I will say one thing though is that the Padres, I'll give them credit though. The last week or so, they've actually looked more like a more well-rounded team. But the other thing is that, say, the Mets end up facing the Padres, it's that the Mets actually struggled against the Padres this year. I saw them in person struggle against Yu Darvish. Like, Yu Darvish is a very good pitcher, and then you're probably facing Musgrove or Blake Snell. And Snell's been on a roll lately, so I wouldn't count the Padres out, but I also I still think that either the Mets or the Braves can knock them off. I just don't know if it'll be as easy necessarily as we think it is.
And the scariest part is you get three games. You know, it will be at your home ballpark, whether Truist or City, whatever bank you choose, congratulations. But you can only lose twice. You know, if you get a Yu Darvish start and he's like Texas Darvish against the Astros that one time, you're done for one game, and you have to beat them twice in a row. So if Manaea or Snell or Musgrove, and remember, it's a do or die game for them. So you can throw one of them in a bullpen if you need to, like a Scherzer in the World Series or a Randy Johnson in the World Series. You can plug your guy in there and say, hey, we might have to punt game one of the NLDS, but as long as we get there, we're good. Right. So you can mix and match. Josh Hader's been pitching better. So it's by no means a sure thing. I would favor the Braves. I would favor the Mets. I would favor them in any series, as if they're not facing each other or the Dodgers. But you can still lose. And that's why the bye is so important, because you can't lose with a bye. You just can't. It is mathematically, physically impossible to lose with a bye. You are guaranteed passage. And I think the Braves have to know that. The Mets have to know that. That you just win one more game than the Mets do all season if you're Atlanta, or if you win the same number of games as the Braves do all season, because the Mets currently have the tiebreaker, you're good. You get to watch the other team play two or three games, potentially lose, because that happens too. Remember, the Dodgers won 106 games last year and were forced into a wild card game. If Cody Bellinger and Chris Taylor don't, you know, collab on one of the clutchest little moments in MLB history, we might not have seen the 106 win Dodgers go to the NLDS. So that's how tricky it can be. All it takes is one bad series, one bad week, one bad game, and you could be out of the playoffs.
Baseball's a really fickle sport because of that, but you're right. And that's why, like, I know it's, I made a pretty nice little deal saying about the Padres are just going to get schlacked in the wild card game, but you're right. Baseball's a weird sport. The Mariners can lose 3 of 4 to Oakland. Yes, I'm bringing up my own pain. I'm a masochist. What can I say? But the NL is going to be really interesting to watch. So now let's bring it over to the American League, where there's only two teams that are fully guaranteed into the playoffs right now, and that is the Yankees and the Astros, much to my own chagrin. Two of my least favorite teams. But you cannot deny how good both of them are. And right now, with the Astros, how they said, with how the bracket looks, if the playoffs were to start today, it would be the Astros facing against the winner between the Rays and the Blue Jays, and the Yankees facing off against the winner between the Mariners and the Indians. Sorry, excuse me, the Guardians. My apologies. I am still getting over it. I still have trouble with it, but at least I correct myself, Dave Sims. But I do think, no, I'm kidding. Dave Sims corrected himself. I apologize. Love you, Dave. The American League is really interesting for that part, because the wild card is where all the commotion is at. You already know who's getting the bye. That part's already said and done. There's no one else who's getting that bye. Where at least in the NL, we had that part of the discussion. However, what you can talk about is who you would rather face. If you're any team right now, who would you rather face right now? Would it be the Yankees or would it be the Astros? My argument here would be the Yankees. Yes, Aaron Judge is being Aaron Judge. This is a given. But look, the rest of the team, like, yeah, there's been some good points. Giancarlo Stanton has been on a power tear lately. But I would rather face the Yankees right now. The Astros have still been a darn good ball club. And especially, you know, speaking as a Mariner fan, that's every time they come to the plate, all I hear are trash cans with how well the Astros are hitting against us. It's... I would rather face off against the Yankees right now. Guys, what are your thoughts here? If you're any one of these wildcard teams, who would you want to face in the American League Division Series, the Yankees or the Astros?
For me, this is easy. It's the Yankees. I'd much rather face, I mean, the thing is, the Astros are, you know, the Astros have already won 99 games for a reason. And they just, top to bottom, they are a stacked team, you know, offensively with Yordan Alvarez and Kyle Tucker, Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, Jeremy Peña. It just, the names go on and on and on, you know, outside of their catcher position, really everyone hits. And again, I guess Gurriel's not having a great year, but you know, that team is just, it's loaded top to bottom. The pitching staff, you know, you have Framber Valdez, Justin Verlander, obviously two guys are going to be top five in the Cy Young voting, probably. Christian Javier has been really good. You also have Luis Garcia, Jose Urquidy. That's a top of the line rotation. Bullpen, I would say it's a weakness, but it really isn't. I know Ryan Presley has been compared to past years, Ryan Presley hasn't been as good, but still a 2.9 ERA and 30 saves. And then you have Rafael Montero, who has 13 saves, stepped in while Presley was hurt. A 2.3 ERA. Ryan Stanek has been unhittable. Brian Abreu is really good. Oh, and they have Lance McCullers back now. I forgot. He's also in the rotation. So, yeah, the Astros are ridiculous. I'm not going to say that the Yankees aren't a good team, but they are just – they're too top-heavy, in my opinion, especially with the lineup. So, I think the Astros – are clearly the better team here. They took 5 of the 7 games against the Yankees, and they're the only team, to reference my Mets, during interleague play, they were the only team that I saw that made the Mets look completely overmatched. So 100%, I'd rather face the Yankees. They have more holes in their roster. I don't really see a weakness on this Astros team.
I'm going to take this in a slightly different direction. We've seen this Astros team go deep into the playoffs year in, year out. The last time they did not advance to at least the American League Championship Series was 2016. So you have a World Series appearance, ALCS loss, World Series appearance, ALCS loss, World Series appearance. And a lot of pieces there have stayed the same. And even the pieces that have changed, the Correa turning into Jeremy Peña, the Springers of the world turning into Tucker and Alvarez, guys like that. You still have so much experience. It's a team that went to the World Series last year. And, you know, the Yankees have some playoff in their own right, with Judge was on the 2017 team and the 2019 team that lost in the ALCS. But the Astros just have so much depth of talent and so much depth of playoff experience that most of that roster was in the World Series last year. They were playing important games into November, and it feels like every year they're playing important games into late October, early November, and you just have that almost swagger that they've been in the moment. They have won big games, and the Yankees have to a certain degree, but the Astros have so much experience and so much, you know, adversity they've fought through in these playoff runs that I do think you have to give it to them. Just the experience, the versatility, the lineup, you know, experienced Dusty Baker, the pitching staff. Justin Verlander pitched on a World Series team 16 years ago, folks. You have other members of that staff that have pitched in big games, pitched in the World Series. You know, Luis Garcia had that crazy start in Boston, right? Like, no one on the Yankees to me is matching that, other than Gerrit Cole, who used to be an Astro, ironically enough. So there's just this wealth of talent, this wealth of experience. I think Houston, you don't want to face Houston, because Houston doesn't really lose in the playoffs. They're always winning games. They're always advancing. You know, they're, you know, 2-3 games away from winning multiple World Series. They're not a tough, they are a tough out, and as tough as it comes. And I'd much rather face the Yankees, because at the very least, you know, the Yankees haven't been there. They haven't done these things that the Astros have done.
And see, that's where this all kind of boils down to, is that right now the Astros are just more complete ball club. Like, you brought it up. Like, this team is just throw a dart at it and see a position of strength. Like, you can't tell me anywhere on this team that is a true weakness for it. Like, even the catcher position, like, you know, strength of its own. Yuli Gurriel, yeah, he struggled a little bit, but I mean, I'd still take him over some other first baseman in the league. Like, it's not a problem. It's not really a problem, especially when that's becoming nitpicking with this team. The rotation is solid. The bullpen, solid. The infield, solid. The outfield, solid. The bench, solid. Every part of that team is solid. That's the word you use to describe them. It's not even so much overwhelming. It's that they beat you and make you know about it, but they beat you before you even have a chance to say, what the hell just happened? And that's the problem that when it comes to with the Astros. But I'm going to tell you the number one thing. And you touched on it, Splash, as well. The number one thing that gets at me with this team is that they have been to the playoffs every single year since 2016. I've done well in those years. Again, like you brought it up, since 2016, they have not gotten any less than the championship series. That means the top two teams in the American League. There are 13 teams that did not make that for what? How many years? Is that for what? It was what? 6 years? So look, this is the problem that when it comes to for the Astros, right? They have the most experience. They have people that have been here year in and year out. They have very, very few people on this roster that have not been to the playoffs. I think, what, Pena is one, because he's brand new. They have a couple other additions, Trey Mancini. Like, but that's because they just got him from Baltimore. No, everyone on that team is insane. They have all done incredible work, and they've all been there before. Whereas, like, let's take a team like say my Mariners, that have very few people that have been to the postseason. In fact, if they started their career with the Mariners, they've not been to the postseason. Huh? Imagine that. But I mean, that's the kind of thing right now, is that right now Seattle currently has the sixth spot, the third wild card, and that almost seems to be a bit of a blessing. Because the sixth seed goes against the third seed, which are the Cleveland Guardians. And the winner of that game goes on to play against the Yankees. Whereas seeds 4 and 5 face off against each other to then go play against the Astros. Now, look, I don't expect my Mariners to make a deep run. I would love it. It'd be the greatest thing ever. And I would be the happiest man on earth if they made all the way to the World Series, because I actually have World Series tickets. Yay. But I don't see a weakness on this Astros team, whereas I do see a good number of weaknesses on this Yankees team, especially since right now, like, I think the best way to describe them is just like you said earlier, they're top heavy. They have Stanton, they've got Judge, they've got a couple others. But after that's where it starts to get dicey. So right now, if you are any wild card team, you are hoping to face off against the Yankees. That's your goal. If you're facing off against the Astros, good luck.
Like,
I'll finish off this point real quick.
Yeah.
Because right now the Astros have the experience. They've had the time. And they say there's no better teacher than experience and time.
Yeah. I will say one other thing is that there's one team that hasn't clinched yet, but it's basically a formality, which is the Guardians. The Guardians just swept the White Sox on the road this past week. They're 7 games up. They have a magic number of 6. And I would be careful with this team. These Guardians look like they are going to be good for a long time. You know, this is not a team I expected to contend this year. A lot of people didn't expect them to contend this year, but they really give me vibes of that, the Braves from last year, really. You know, a lot of young players with, you know, they didn't do a ton of at the trade deadline, but now you look at them and they're going to run away with the AL Central. And they're taking advantage of the fact that the other teams in their division, the White Sox and the Twins, really did not capitalize on the fact that the Guardians were struggling earlier in the season. And now look at this. The Guardians are capitalizing on the fact that the other teams are tripping over themselves. So I'd say be careful about the Guardians, though I will say the Mariners have handled them very well this year. So I think it's still a good matchup for the Mariners. On the other hand, I think actually both these teams can give the Yankees a run for their money. I seriously have no clue if anyone in the AL can stop the Astros, though.
Yeah, the tough thing to me with this Guardians team is you have really good pitching, which wins in October, and you have a rock-solid bullpen. Emmanuel Clase is as good as it gets. He and Edwin Diaz have been just phenomenal this season. And this is the kicker. You have a manager with a brain, Terry Francona. He's been there before. He's been there, done that. And, you know, we can talk about Dusty Baker, and I said experience. Well, Dusty Baker's not won a World Series. Terry Francona has won a World Series. He has won these big games. So, you know, if you're, say, the Mariners in a potential 3-6 matchup, as much as I like Scott Service and the Mariners are this great story, Terry Francona has years upon years upon years upon years of extra experience here. And it's hard to beat good pitching when it matters.
To at least give some hope for my Mariners after that. Yeah, you know, they don't have the experience, but one thing that they do have, they have a few good things to really kind of lean on. First of which is a ball club that is having a lot of fun right now. Like that team right now, I haven't seen a team in baseball has as much fun as the team does. But does that mean anything? No. What does mean something is that their pitching has been lights out as of late. Right now, you take a look at the Mariners rotation, and there are 4 guys on that team that I would feel at least comfortable at starting a wild card game. I would feel comfortable with Luis Castillo, Logan Gilbert, George Kirby, Robbie Ray. If I have to pick one guy, it's Castillo. Because Castillo has been stupid good as of late. But and then the bullpen has been absolutely incredible. Eric Swanson has been, I think, a story that nobody is talking about with an ERA, what, at 1 right now? Like, gosh darn, he is one. He is pitching lights out baseball right now. But you know what? Right now, we're getting closer and closer to the postseason. More teams are going to clinch fairly soon right now. I believe the Mariners' magic number is either 8 or 9 right now. So pretty close. So we'll have more details for this as we get closer to the postseason. But now I'm going to hand off the hosting duties here to one Ryan Splash Potts as we are going to play a little game. We're going to partake in some trivia. So with that being said, take it away, Splash.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome in. I am Alex Trebek, essentially, here. I do have a question for you.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace. One of my favorite Canadians. So there are 2 potential ways we can do this. There's 1 large list and 2 smaller lists. Would you guys like to play the one large round or 2 smaller rounds? And you can have a little tiebreaker, if you will. If you end up tying the rounds.
I like the idea of two smaller ones and then a tiebreaker or just getting shut out 2-0.
Okay. Mac, your opinion?
I agree.
Okay. So it's the same category, the same prompt, but it's two different lists of players. Okay. So we're going to start. This is the hitter version. This is the hitter version.
Do you want to explain a little bit how the game's going to work?
Yes, I'll explain it. So this is in honor of one of my favorite shows as a kid, Stump the Schwab. Their intro is called Leading Off. So you'd have one list, large list, so say 1992 All-Star team. And the contestants would go back and forth naming players on that list, right? And the first person to miss a name loses, the man left standing wins the round. We're going to do that, just Mac versus Alex here, 1v1. And the topic for today is players to have a 10-war season. Now, here's some caveats. This is Baseball Reference or FanGraphs. If they just did one but not the other, who cares? I have all of them for Baseball Reference, all of them for FanGraphs, for both pitchers and hitters. And if there's a player that is in a special zone, so I'm going to explain that. This is a player that eclipsed 10 WAR as a pitcher, but lost some WAR as a hitter. So they ended up with like a 9.7 or something. I will count that because I'm a nice person and they had 10 pitcher WAR. Or if they ended up with, say, 9.5 pitcher WAR and tacked on one hitter WAR because they're good at baseball, that would also count. So I'm giving you all the benefits of the doubt. If you have a player that's, you know, eclipses 10 at some point, you can get points for it. All right. Would you like to begin with hitters or pitchers?
So just to kind of make sure, it's overall just not National League, American League. It's just hitting / pitching.
Correct.
Okay. Yep. Mac, I said the two thing, but do you want to pick which one we do first?
Yeah, let's start with hitters.
So there are 30 hitters and one special hitter that, like I said earlier, he's the guy that didn't technically get 10, but he had 9.9 as a hitter and that added 0.1 as a pitcher. So he will count for the sake of this, but he's not in my main list. So there's 30 players up for grabs. Remember, 10 WAR, Baseball Reference or FanGraphs, doesn't matter, but 10.0 WAR on a season. I'm going to do a flip the coin on my Siri and Mac, your heads, Alex, your tails, flip a coin. Okay. Flip a coin. It's heads. Mac, you may begin.
Mike Trout
is correct. Let me make sure I can get it highlighted. Also, if you do repeat a name, you're eliminated. I should have mentioned that before, but if you repeat a name, sorry. Alex, your turn.
Ted Williams.
Ted Williams is correct. Mac.
Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds is correct. Alex.
Ken Griffey Jr.
That is incorrect. Mac, would you like to show off, see if you can name any more players?
Buster Posey.
Correct.
I can't believe that. Wait a minute. Wow, really? Ken Griffey never had one?
Dang. Like 9.7 is his high or something, right? It's
mid-90s.
That's really dumb. I would have thought 97 would have given him that. But
well, you know, I have Rodriguez, one. I know too.
Yeah,
I swear to God. I swear to everything, Mac. I do have one name that I'm pretty sure is on this list. I'm not 100%, but it's merely because I like watching John Boy's content. Lonnie Smith is also potentially on there. Is he on there?
Very close, but no.
Ah, dang it.
How high up did Lonnie Smith get?
9.2.
Oh wow.
I think from what I remember seeing on that, I didn't remember where he ended, so I took a guess on it, but it was also because he only played like what,
130? Yeah, he missed 30 games. He would have been on pace for like 11.2 or something.
Yeah,
about that.
Wasn't it actually he was on pace for like 12.4 or something like that?
Something. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I'll just rattle through these: Betts, Lou Boudreau, Norm Cash, Cobb, Eddie Collins, Fox, Gehrig, Ricky, Hornsby, Judge, just crossed it, Lajoie, Mantle, Mays, Musial, Rico, Petrocelli, Posey, like you said, Ripken, A-Rod, Rosen, Ruth, Sosa, Speaker, Honus Wagner, Yastrzemski, and Robin Yount. All right.
What's sad is I knew a lot. It's sad that I didn't know a lot of those. I was just very confident Griffey was one of them.
Yeah, it's tough.
Honestly, I was going to say Ruth was my next one. So I probably should have just gone with the Ruth answer.
Yeah. Going with safe answers, going with answers you know are true here.
I mean, to be fair, I have to go with the man who's on my tattoo that's on my arm. So I kind of had to. Okay. I got to stay on brand.
Okay, understandable.
I'm also, if you guys can see in the video, I'm wearing my Ken Griffey hat. So
there you go.
Also really had to.
Okay, understandable. All right, we're going to move to the pitcher part of this. There are 32 available names. Alex, you will start. Again, 10 war, Fangraphs or Baseball Reference, doesn't matter. 10 war in a season.
Alex? I really don't even want to at this point because I feel like I'm going to just screw it up on number one even at this point.
This is since 1903. There were no hitters that qualified before 1903, but...
Okay.
Pitchers, it's just since 1903. So I would imagine you're not guessing anyone before 1903, but in case you were.
Are you trying to tell me that I can't do legend Ball Smith from 1854 or something like that?
Yeah, that's going to be a no for me.
Okay, Randy. Speaking of Randy. Right.
Alex, you may begin.
You know what? I'm just going to go fun for this point right now, Randy Johnson.
Randy Johnson is correct. Mac.
Good.
I'm trying to make sure I'm trying to recall correctly. Man, this is tougher than I expected. Pedro Martinez?
Pedro Martinez is correct. Ironically, he did it on each site, but it was different years.
Pedro was actually going to be my next one.
All right, Alex.
All right, so now I'm having to think on the fly a little bit more here. I'm going to say Verlander because he had that season where he was almost the MVP.
Okay, he did win the MVP. He did not crack 10 WAR.
Come on!
Oh, man, dude.
Okay, Mac, you do need one to win here, so you have to get this next one correct.
Aaron Nola.
That is incorrect.
What? That was the stupid year at 2018. I thought he got 10. Okay, baseball reference, I'm almost 100% certain he got 10.
Do you want me to check it real quick? 10,
it is not 10 when I checked earlier today, all my research.
What?
Here, I'll check it right now. Give me just a second.
I can let it's like a 9.99 that rounds, unless it's a rounding error.
I'm looking at baseball reference now because that's the one that I have.
Yeah, it's a 9.7 on
baseball reference. Oh, I'm so close.
Okay.
I'm just looking. Let's see here. Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah, 9.7. 9.7. Okay. Yeah.
We continue. All right, Alex.
Keep going then, Alex. You're alive.
I don't know why, but my mind's going to like really like all the old timers. And all that, and I'm not sure if this is a good guess, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm going to say Christy Mathewson.
Christy Mathewson is correct.
Let's go!
Okay, Mac.
Walter Johnson.
Walter Johnson, several times, is correct.
Yeah, okay. Figured.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, you know that's really fair. Okay,
let me get it highlighted. There we go. Okay, cool. Alex.
See, because that's the thing. I'm definitely much more of a hitter person, which makes me really sad that I bonked it on the last one. Almost swore, didn't. I can hold myself accountable. Jim Palmer.
Jim Palmer is not correct. Mac has a chance to ice it.
This is tough. Really tough. Man, I'm gonna have to really dig deep here.
What's sad is I just remembered one.
it's tougher here because you can go with like pitchers. It's tougher to track with WAR. Man, Roger Clemens.
Roger Clemens is a correct answer.
Let's go.
Ah. How many more can you name, Mac?
Oh, Curt Schilling.
Schilling is a no.
What? I thought maybe 1 year in Arizona he would have had 10. I don't know, Mike Scott?
No Mike Scott?
No Mike Scott? I know he was insane for the Astros for a little bit.
So he had
Doc Gooden, obviously.
Yep, 13.3.
Yeah, he was insane in 1985.
So we have Pete Alexander, Burt Blylevin, Steve Carlton, Jack Chesbro, Eddie Seacott, Dick Ellsworth, Red Faber, Bob Feller, Russ Ford, Bob Gibson, Dwight Gooden, Zach Greinke, Lefty Grove, Fergie Jenkins, Sandy Koufax, Dolph Luque, Juan Marichal, Joe McGinnity, Hal Newhouser, Phil Niekro, Gaylord Perry, Tom Seaver, Dazzy Vance, Rube Waddell, Ed Walsh, Smokey Joe Wood, and Wilbur Wood. So congratulations. Oh,
I just realized, why the heck didn't I say Cy Young? He's the one that owns the award.
Okay, he would have been an incorrect answer, but...
Cy Young?
Yeah.
He's had a 10-plus WAR season.
Not after 1903.
Oh, after 1903.
Yeah. So the bonus question would have been, name the players that missed 10 WAR as a pitcher or as a hitter, but combined got to 10. So those would be... those would be one, Kevin Brown, Wes Farrell, Carl Hubbell, Dizzy Trout on the pitching side. So these are guys that had 8 to 9 WAR seasons as a pitcher, had a good season at the plate, got over 10. And then one, George Sisler had 9.9 hitting WAR and 0.1 pitching WAR. So he got to 10. So there we go. Congratulations, Mac. Swept the round. I'll get some good trivia for the next round or next time we do this. Good job.
Good to make me look like the fool, but no, sorry, that's Alex. Fine. No, Mac's really smart and I'm not. We know this. It's fine. No, it's all good. But anyway, thank you for bringing that up. Hey. No, but thank you for bringing up the truth. It's always fun to get to play games like that on the show. But you know, I think it's going to do it for our podcast for today's episode. I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening. Make sure you go follow us all on Twitter. You can go follow Mac at Matthias_A_K. You can go follow Splash over at Mr. Splashman 19. Then you can go follow me on Twitter at the Sports Guy 242. But for all of us here at Cheap Seats Cheddar, my name is Alex. I have been your host for today's podcast. Have a great rest of your day. Stay safe. I hope to see you all real soon. Thank you all.